Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, February 10th, 2024. Train like a ninja warrior. Permian Basin Ninja Academy brings obstacle courses to Midland. Permian Basin Ninja Academy wants to introduce West Texas to ninja training and competition. Ninja training is training for obstacle courses that include endurance, agility, strength, and flexibility challenges. The gym's co-owner and head coach, Kendra Nurkaganen, started ninja training herself in 2018. Nurkaganen currently competes in around four leagues: the Ultimate Ninja Athlete Association, the World Ninja League, Texas Ninja League, and the Federation of International Ninja Athletics. The Ninja Warrior Training Facility, which will hold a grand opening event on March 2nd at its 3303 West Illinois Avenue location, is a training facility where kids and adults can exercise, play, or receive the ninja training they need to compete around the country or on the television program American Ninja Warrior. NBC bills the show as, quote, elite athletes from around the country competing on the world's most difficult obstacle course, end quote. Consumer Trends website Statista says season 14 of the show was viewed by around 3 million people. The 15th season of the show aired on June 5th, 2023. In most iterations of the show, obstacle courses are divided into qualifier courses, semifinal courses, and a four-part finals course. The contestant who finishes all the courses in the fastest time wins $1 million. Nurkaganen has been through the application process for the show and is familiar with it. She said the application process includes basic information like age, height, weight, and athletic background, as well as sharing an inspiring personal story, helping producers understand how you could serve as a positive role model for viewers. In addition, hopeful athletes must submit a submission video that displays their personality and ability on obstacle courses. Although Permian Basin Ninja Academy can provide the training necessary to compete for cash prizes and trophies, West Texans can join to have fun, get exercise, meet others, and find a sense of purpose. Nurkaganen, who is 11 years sober, wants to inspire others to find direction through sport. Quote, competing in ninja, training in ninja, has really helped me focus what I want for myself, as well as be able to get my story out there and be able to help kids or anybody in general fall in love with this sport, end quote, she said. Nurkaganen said she's heard from parents that she has an ability to healthily push young people out of their comfort zone. Quote, and that every time they leave here, they go home talking about wanting to be back at Ninja, and that every week they are so excited to come in and learn new things, end quote, she said. Nurkaganen said the closest Ninja training facility, prior to opening her own gym, was 5 to 6 hours away. She hopes to provide the basin with a different way to exercise and compete. Midland sees rise in burglary theft. Homicide, rape, assault trend downward. Crime within the Permian Basin area has seen an increase in some areas and a decrease in others, according to the data released by the City of Midland, the Midland County Sheriff's Office, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Information from the City of Midland, sent to the Midland Reporter Telegram by city officials, indicates that major crimes such as criminal homicide, forcible rape, assault, and larceny, theft, have all cycled downward from 2022. However, the city's data does indicate an increase in crimes for robbery, burglary, and motor vehicle theft. The Midland County Sheriff's Office also shows a slight spike in burglaries, with 109 incidents reported for 2023. That is an overall increase from the 89 incidents reported for 2022. Larceny, defined as theft of personal property, also saw a significant increase according to data sent from the MCSO office. Last year saw 505 incidents reported, while 2022 saw 386 incidents reported for the calendar year. Assault was also on the rise, with 113 incidents reported for 2022 and 615 incidents reported for 2023. Crime data sent from the City of Midland also shows a significant increase in burglaries, in addition to motor vehicle theft. City data indicates a rise of 359 burglaries for the calendar year 2023, more than a 20% increase from 2022's number of 291. Motor vehicle theft also saw an elevated number with 2023's count of 391. The previous year, 2022, only saw 316 reported motor vehicle thefts. This resulted in an overall increase of 23.73%. The City of Midland saw 44 incidents reported as robbery attempts for 2022. That is an increase of 9% in robbery attempts reported, with an overall count of 48 robberies for the year. The Federal Bureau of Investigation publishes yearly statistics related to law enforcement. Their program, dubbed the Uniform Crime Reporting, UCR, program, is said to generate reliable statistics for use in law enforcement. The information and the data gathered from the UCR program provide information for students of criminal justice, researchers, the media, and the public. Since 1930, the UCR program has been providing crime statistics and includes data from more than 18,000 law enforcement agencies, including federal law enforcement. For the Midland County Sheriff's Office, there was little change from the offenses reported in 2022 versus 2023. According to the data gathered from the UCR program, as well as information directly from the MCSO, Midland County had 162 incidents of motor vehicle theft reported for 2022. In 2023, those numbers did have a slight decrease, with 149 incidents reported. For burglary in 2022, the UCR program records 89 offenses. In the general category of violent crime, including homicide and rape, the number of offenses reported within the FBI's UCR database cycled downward from 2021 to 2022. Unfortunately, UCR data has yet to post numbers for 2023. However, the Midland County Sheriff's Office did provide that data to the Reporter-Telegram for two public information requests were filed. Data reflected from the MCSO indicate crimes such as assault and larceny remain a large presence within the area. For example, in August of 2023, the MCSO reported 69 assault offenses, an overall peak number for the calendar year. In June of 2023, MCSO reported 62 larceny, theft of personal property offenses, also a peak number for the year. Hit-and-run incident claims life of student. A 10-year-old student is dead following a hit-and-run incident that occurred Thursday on South La Mesa Road in Southeast Midland. According to the City of Midland, when officers arrived on scene Thursday, they discovered a black truck struck a child who had attempted to cross the road after leaving school along the 1900 block of South La Mesa Road. An officer located and detained the driver, who was identified as 50-year-old Rogelio Ortiz, at approximately 4:35 p.m. the same day. According to police reports, Ortiz was initially reported as a 41-year-old man, which was incorrect. On Friday, the Midland police reported that Ortiz will face a new charge of hit-and-run accident causing death. IDEA Public Schools and the Midland School District issued a joint statement on Friday morning. Quote, IDEA and Midland Independent School District are mourning the loss of one of our IDEA Travis students after a tragic incident near our school yesterday, end quote, the statement read. Quote, our thoughts and prayers are with the student's family and loved ones, end quote. Additionally, both education agencies advise that counselors will be providing mental health support for all the students and staff on campus. Quote, as the safety of our students continues to be our number one priority, we are urging drivers to exercise caution when pedestrians are present to prevent tragedies, end quote, the press statement read. The student was airlifted to Lubbock and listed in critical condition as of Thursday evening. City officials informed the Reporter-Telegram Friday that the student had died from their injuries. The investigation into the accident remains ongoing. The Reporter-Telegram has reached out to the city for information regarding the safety of students along the 1900 block of South La Mesa Road. However, they were unable to provide information at this time. Arsenic in Midland water returns to safe levels. The City of Midland reported Friday that the latest quarterly test results of the T-Bar water source show an allowable limit of arsenic in city water. In early January, according to the city, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality informed the City of Midland water purification plant that the drinking water being supplied to customers had exceeded the maximum contaminant level for arsenic. During the fourth quarter of 2023, Midland drinking water showed arsenic levels of 0.011 milligrams per liter. The Environmental Protection Agency caps the allowable limit for arsenic at 0.010 milligrams per liter. In its latest quarterly water quality sampling, Midland drinking water showed 0.009 milligrams per liter, according to the city and its utilities director, Carl Crago. After discovering the high levels of arsenic in January, the city staff said they would begin to implement strategies to combat the issue. Crago said in early January that the city was going to pioneer a new water treatment method that promises to remove up to 57% of arsenic from groundwater. The city and Crago said the city has implemented a new comprehensive treatment approach and regular monitoring to manage arsenic levels effectively. New owners of Mesa Vista Ranch file trademark infringement lawsuit. BRS Mesa Vista Partners, LLC, led by Midlander Bill Kent, has filed a federal lawsuit for trademark infringement on the Mesa Vista Ranch the investor group acquired in December 2022. In its lawsuit, the group is alleging another real estate group is unlawfully using the same name and infringing on the Mesa Vista Ranch trademarks in marketing an adjacent property. The property is in Roberts County in the eastern Texas panhandle, about 80 miles northeast of Amarillo. Kent and his fellow investors acquired the 36,000-plus acre western side of the ranch from the estate of T. Boone Pickens. The acquisition included not only the physical assets, including the 25,000-square-foot lodge, but all intellectual property rights, including trademarks, copyrights, trade names, and other similar rights. The lawsuit, filed in federal district court in Amarillo, claims the defendant, Mesa Vista Ranch, LLC, formed by Texas businessman Bailey Payton and Atlanta-based real estate investment professional J. Bradford Smith, subsequently purchased approximately 12,000 acres of land that adjoins and was formerly part of the Mesa Vista Ranch. According to the lawsuit, they intend to sell all or part of that land by marketing the land as the Mesa Vista Ranch, thereby infringing on the Mesa Vista Ranch name, reputation, trademark, and the goodwill in that mark. According to the lawsuit, the 12,000 acres that the defendant is trying to sell contains none of the multi-million dollar improvements Pickens made to the ranch, including the lakes and creeks created on the property, the luxury accommodations, the golf course, as well as the environmental amenities and other facilities, including a private airport. Quote, defendant has initiated a marketing campaign to sell all or part of its parcel, using the Mesa Vista Ranch name and trademark, and calling their parcel the Mesa Vista Ranch in violation of plaintiff's rights to that name and in an effort to confuse consumers as to the nature of their parcel, end quote, the lawsuit states. Quote, though their property was once part of the Mesa Vista Ranch, it is no longer part of the Mesa Vista Ranch operation, and its owners are not entitled to call it the Mesa Vista Ranch, end quote. Since acquiring the acreage, Kent and his investors have continued Pickens' 40-year legacy of using the property and the Mesa Vista marks for various products and services and intend to expand use of the property as a premier resort and hunting destination through a private membership format for individuals and businesses. Live music, Chicago Live in Midland on Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is around the corner, and fans of the classic band Chicago will have the opportunity for a date night at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center in Midland. The original three band members, including Robert Lamb on keyboards and vocals, Lee Lugnane on trumpet and vocals, and James Pankow on trombone, will perform live along with Wally Reyes Jr. on drums, Tony Abrata on guitar, Lauren Gold on keyboards and vocals, Ray Herman on sax and flute, Neil Donnell on vocals, Eric Baines on bass, and Ramon Ray Yalas on percussion. The American rock band formed in 1967 in Chicago, Illinois, hence the band name Chicago, and has recorded 38 albums, selling millions of records, according to the band's website. Fans can expect to hear classic hit songs such as If You Leave Me Now, Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is, and 25 or 6 to 4. Chicago has toured every year since the beginning. They've never missed a year, the venue stated. Doors to the show open at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, February 14th, and tickets are on sale now, with prices ranging from $70 to $135. The venue is located at 1310 Farm to Market Road, 1788 in Midland, Texas. For additional information and tickets and ticket inquiries to a show, visit the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center website. Arsenic in Midland water returns to safe levels. The City of Midland reported Friday that the latest quarterly test results of the T-Bar water source show an allowable limit of arsenic in city water. In early January, according to the city, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality informed the City of Midland Water Purification Plant that the drinking water being supplied to customers had exceeded the maximum contaminant level for arsenic. During the fourth quarter of 2023, Midland drinking water showed arsenic levels of 0.011 milligrams per liter. The Environmental Protection Agency caps the allowable limit for arsenic at 0.010 milligrams per liter. In its latest quarterly water quality sampling, Midland drinking water showed 0.009 milligrams per liter, according to the city and its utilities director, Carl Crago. After discovering the high levels of arsenic in January, the city staff said they would begin to implement strategies to combat the issue. Crago said in early January that the city was going to pioneer a new water treatment method that promises to remove up to 57% of arsenic from groundwater. The city and Crago said the city has implemented a new comprehensive treatment approach and regular monitoring to manage arsenic levels effectively. Valentine's Day. Midland Farmers Market celebrates love with local goods this Saturday. This Saturday, the Midland Downtown Farmers Market is hosting a special Valentine's Day event and recently released the vendor list, which is scheduled for Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. The event will offer seasonal items for the special loved ones along with local produce, meat, baked goods, homemade items, food on site, and art. The Farmers Market location is at 404 North Colorado Street in Midland. For additional information, visit the Midland Downtown Farmers Market website or on Facebook. Below is the list of farmers, food, and vendors participating in this weekend's special event on February 10th. Farmers, Chatelaine Farm, E3 Farm, Permian Basin Master Gardeners. Food Court, C3 Farm, Get R Grub, Hash Browns and High Hopes. Vendors, Richie's Rocks, AET-TDH, Delissa's Gluten Free, The Soap Company, K9 Cottage Cookie Company, Shade Tree Salsa, Boss Beauty, 31 Preserves, Permian Basin Candle Company, Aunt Lily's Sweet Kolaches, Meg's Fried Pies, WTX Candles, Lenny B. Designs, Maya Solis Bakehouse, Jess's Jewelry Box, Signs Baking, D&J Fun Freeze Dried Snacks, Baby Bake Cake, Sugar and Almonds, Anna James Brewing Company, Stitch and Seam, CC Creations, Love One Another Soaps, Lil Check Bakery, With Love, Amandote, KK Tumblers, Sunflower Kisses. Motorcyclist seriously injured following vehicle collision. A motorcyclist was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital with serious bodily injuries following a crash involving an automobile Thursday. According to a City of Midland press release, officers with the Midland Police Department responded to an accident involving a motorcyclist near Midland International Air and Spaceport at approximately 6:55 p.m. An initial investigation into the incident revealed that the driver, who was driving a Hyundai Santa Fe, was traveling south and in the turn lane of FM 1788 near Loop 40. According to reports, the driver did not see the motorcyclist traveling north in the outside lane of FM 1788 and attempted to turn while colliding with the operator of the 2021 Ducati. The motorcyclist was transported to the hospital with serious bodily injuries. Midland police reported that the driver of the Hyundai Santa Fe was released pending further investigation. The investigation is ongoing. Street closure expected for Golf Course Road. The City of Midland issued a traffic alert for an expected closure to occur for Golf Course Road. Beginning Tuesday, February 14th through Tuesday, February 27th, Golf Course Road from Big Spring to Main Street will be closed for utility improvements. Traffic will be detoured through the following streets: Cottonwood Avenue, Edwards Street, Weatherford Street, Hamby Avenue. City officials advise that local business and residential access will be maintained at all times from either side of the road closure. Drivers are encouraged to plan and utilize the detours in place. Feral hog poison returns to Texas market after tests. After nearly 7 years, Caput feral hog bait is returning to the market for Texas farmers looking for a way to deal with the state's rampant feral hog problem. The bait containing warfarin, a blood thinner that is poisonous to hogs, was registered for statewide use February 1st for people with a pesticide applicator license. Texas Agricultural Commission Sid Miller fully supports its use in the state. The product is expected to be available on shelves in the spring. Quote, it'll eradicate them. If you have hogs on your property that are devastating your crops in your field, you can put this bait out and eliminate the problem, end quote, Miller said. Quote, it goes right to the source of the problem, end quote. It was first approved back in 2017 with support from Miller and the backing of the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Miller said his team had done research at the time that demonstrated it was safe. But Caput pulled the product before it was officially released a few months later, claiming threats of lawsuits. Miller said there was a lot of misinformation during those few months with panic and hysteria, quote, propagated by the opposition, end quote. At least one lawsuit was filed at the time, which led to a state district judge blocking the initial ruling from Miller. The Texas House also approved a bill stating all potentially lethal pesticides must be subject to state or university research prior to approval. The bait underwent more study. New research released last year found the bait effective, setting it up to return to the marketplace. Quote, if the landowner follows a very specific application protocol, actually teaches the pigs how to feed out of a hog-specific feeder, and integrates a non-toxic bait over several weeks before they ever introduce a hot bait, the product does kill the pigs effectively, end quote. Texas Wildlife Services Director Mike Bodenchuk said after the research was publicized. Bodenchuk said the warfarin-based bait is not going to solve all feral hog problems. Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Wildlife Specialist John Tomasek said in a statement that the research was released that no non-hogs had access to the bait when the feeders are used correctly. Warfarin is found in rat poison, but the feral hog bait has only 20% of the warfarin in rat poison. Life tributes. Dorothy Walker, 2/14/1957 to 2/2/2024. Dorothy Mae Walker, beloved daughter of Willie Walker and John Walker Sr., was born on February 14, 1957, and peacefully passed away on February 2, 2024, to join her Lord and Savior. Dorothy is preceded in death by her parents, Willie Walker and John Walker Sr., her sister Rosie Hall, and her brother Timothy Hodge Sr. Left to cherish her memory is her brothers Billy Walker, John Walker Jr., and her special sister Willie Pate. She is also survived by her daughter Angela Mitchell and son Donald Mitchell, as well as her beloved grandchildren. Aliyah Jackson, Zayden Brito, Camden Brown Williams, Trinity Mitchell, and Iris De La Rosa Mitchell. Additionally, Dorothy leaves behind a host of aunts, uncles, nieces, and nephews, including Talisha Lambert and Timothy Lambert, who will forever cherish her memory. George Kellum, 10/30/1931 to 1/31/2024. George Parnell Kellum entered the Kingdom of Heaven on January 31, 2024. Kellum was preceded in death by three of his four siblings, Leo Kellum, Myrtle Farley, Otis Kellum, his grandson, John Paul Shanahan, and the love of his life, Mildred Lucille Lucy Kellum. He is survived and will be lovingly missed by his sister, Lois Young, and his and Lucy's four children, Diana Sigert and husband Lee of Willow Springs, Missouri, Danny Kellum and wife Deborah of Tyler, Texas, Bert Kellum and wife Lori of Baxter Springs, Kansas, and Phyllis Shanahan and husband Daniel of San Angelo, Texas. He is also survived by his grandchildren, Jubal Sigert, Joshua Sigert, Lindsay Casillas, Ashley Garcia, Joseph Kellum, Nicholas Kellum, Kelsey Kellum, N.G., Randy Shanahan, and Danica Johnson, and 11 great-grandchildren and 4 great-great-grandchildren. George Parnell Kellum was born on October 30, 1931, in Live Oak Township, Drew County, Arkansas, to Clyde and Ellie Harrison Kellum. A memorial service and celebration of life for both George Parnell Kellum and Mildred Lucille Kellum will be held at the Eunice City Cemetery in Eunice, New Mexico, on April 27, 2024, at 11 o'clock a.m. The public is invited to attend. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions can be sent to Eunice American Legion, P.O. Box 127, Eunice, New Mexico, 88231. Arrangements under the direction of Robertson Drago Funeral Home. Online condolences may be left at www.robertsondrago.com. William O. Snyder, 1/20/1932 to 2/3/2024. William O. Bill Snyder passed away on February 3, 2024, in Midland, Texas. He was 92 years old. Born in Findlay, Ohio, on January 20, 1932, to the late Everett T. and Dorothy E. Benner Snyder. He married his childhood sweetheart, Shirley A. McFadden, on August 24, 1952, and she survives. Also surviving are his daughters, Rebecca Opperman of Lubbock, Texas, and Cynthia Wagler of Midland, Texas, and his sons, William B. Brad of Idaho Falls, Idaho, Dr. Warren R. Randy of San Angelo, Texas, and Joseph B. of Flat Rock, Illinois. Arrangements are under the direction of Mally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Margaret Ann Keppel, 9/7/1931 to 1/28/2024. Margaret was born in San Luis Potosí, Mexico, to missionary parents, Paul and Ella Keppel. She was predeceased by her brother, Paul Keppel of Reno, Nevada. Margaret is survived by her sister, Phyllis Worrell, sister-in-law, Nancy Keppel, nieces, Caroline Worrell Henson, Susan Worrell Staub, Karen Keppel Ferreo, and nephews, Scott Worrell and Stephen Keppel, as well as many grandnieces and nephews, and an ever-increasing number of great-grandnieces and nephews. Brenda Gonzalez Porras, 4/13/1965 to 1/27/2024. Brenda Gonzalez Porras, 58, of Georgetown, Texas, passed away January 27, 2024, after an intense battle with stage 4 renal cell carcinoma. Brenda was born on April 13, 1965, to Maria Elena Franco Gonzalez and Tomas Riojas Gonzalez in Midland, Texas. She is survived by her wife, Heather Lynn Woodbury, her daughter, Crystal Gonzalez Porras, Albert, Nicole Ashley Trevino, Anthony, her son, Jeffrey Tomas Stuey, Gwen, her granddaughter, Isabella Marie, her bonus grandkids, Casey, Corinne, Kyle, her bonus granddaughter, JC, and one more on the way, Athena. She also survived by her 6 siblings, Cindy, Leon, Mike, Tomas Gonzalez Jr., Lisa, Melinda Beza, Martin, Joanne Gonzalez, and Michelle Galindo, her best friends Diana Reyes and Jeremy Ruiz, as well as her many nieces, nephews, extended family, and friends. Brenda was preceded in death by Emma and Appa, Lucia Chandler, Stephen Chandler, and Robert Woodbury. The family thanks everyone for all they have done to be there for them through this tough time and requests that in lieu of flowers, please donate to the GoFundMe, Nikki and Crystal's Mom's Fight Against Cancer, for funeral expenses. Gloria Rodriguez Ruiz. Gloria Rodriguez Ruiz, age 67, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord on Wednesday, February 7th, 2024. A visitation will be held Saturday, February 10th, 2024, from 1 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Joyce Marie Dameron Hooper. Joyce Marie Dameron Hooper, age 97, passed away on Tuesday, February 6, 2024, surrounded by her loving family. She was born on September 7, 1926, in Midland, Texas. A memorial service in her honor will be held on Saturday, February 10, 2024, at 4 o'clock p.m. in the chapel of First Methodist Church. Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park are in charge of arrangements. Lang Kinsey, 4-6-1943 to 1-26-2024. Midland. It's with blessings that Lang Kinsey went to his Lord peacefully on January 26, 2024, at the age of 80. He was born in Sweetwater, Texas, to Olan and Frankie Kinsey. He is survived by daughter Sheila and husband Phil McCown of Midland, Texas, son Mike and wife Shemaine Kinsey of Springtown, Texas, and daughter Debbie Pearson of Midland, Texas. He enjoyed spending time with family, especially his grandchildren, Maymarie, Audrey, Sasha, Taylor, and Caitlin. He is also survived by his sister Becky Smith and sister-in-law Sheila Kinsey, both of Mansfield, Texas. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to Texas Tech Office of Advancement at give.ttu.edu, General Scholarship Tribute, or Box 42010, Lubbock, Texas, 79409-2010, memo, in honor or memory and or your charity of choice. Being the simple man he was, there will be no service. However, a celebration of life will be held at a later date. William Randall Lundy, 6/21/1931 to 10/12/2023. William Randall Lundy, 92, passed on October 12, 2023 in Abilene, Texas. Randall was born in Barberville, Kentucky on June 21, 1931 to Bill and Dahlia Lundy. He married Catherine Perry from Pineville, Kentucky on April 19, 1951. Catherine predeceased Randall on December 17, 1990 at the age of 59. Some years later, he married Eloise Elgin of Midland. And they spent many wonderful years together living on their farm and raising goats in Barberville, Kentucky, until she passed on January 21, 2007. Randall is also predeceased by his son, James Lundy, and his grandson, Randall Weir. He is survived by his brother, Lowell Lundy of Barberville, Kentucky, children Nancy Weir and her husband, Woody Weir of Abilene, Texas, Jane Balazzi of San Marcos, Texas, Will Lundy of Abilene, Texas, and Ellen Williams of Austin, Texas. He is also survived by four grandchildren, Catherine Weir, Patrick Lundy, Sean Lundy, and Sophia Balazzi, and many nieces, nephews, and friends.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, February 8th. West Texas faces soot pollution crackdown. Biden administration tightens air quality standards, which may impact new factories and industrial plants. The story was written by James Osborne of the Houston Chronicle. West Texas is likely to soon face restrictions on developing new factories and petrochemical plants under tough new air quality standards announced by the Biden administration on Wednesday. Under the finalized standards, the threshold on fine particulate matter will be reduced to 9 micrograms per cubic meter from 12 micrograms. That would put the Houston, Austin, and Dallas areas, along with much of South Texas, into non-attainment status, forcing them to reduce pollution or risk losing federal funding, according to analysis by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Reagan said the move was necessary to protect against an epidemic of asthma and other health ailments caused by soot or particulate matter put into the air by everything from cars to oil refineries, preventing 2,400 premature deaths by 2032. Quote, "Healthy people equals a healthy economy," he said in a call with reporters. "We do not need to sacrifice lives to have a booming economy," end quote. The new National Ambient Air Quality Standards, first proposed by the Environmental Protection Agency last year, have drawn fierce opposition from business and industry along the Texas Gulf Coast and around the country. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce estimates that more than 500 counties across the country will fall into non-attainment, with many at the threshold, limiting the development of factories and industrial plants in heavily industrialized areas such as the Houston Ship Channel with its sprawling refining and petrochemical complex. Quote, "Tightening the NAAQS PM2.5 standard will grind permits to a halt for a large portion of our country," Martin Durbin, Senior Vice President for Policy at the Chamber, said in a statement. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton and 18 other Republican attorneys general wrote to the EPA last year, claiming the new standard, quote, "lacks any meaningful scientific justification," end quote. Fine particulate matter is of increasing concern among public health organizations, which warn repeated exposure can lead to asthma attacks, cardiovascular damage, and developmental and reproductive harm. The American Lung Foundation reported last year that Houston's particulate pollution was rising and ranked 15th worst in the country. Quote, "When industry groups use these scare tactics to misrepresent the standards, remember the actual tens of billions of dollars in health benefit the soot limits provide and the people who will be alive because of it," said Doris Brown, a public health advocate and former president of the National Medical Association. Reducing soot pollution within cities like Houston, which serves as a transportation and industrial hub for the country, has proven difficult to achieve. A significant part of the difficulty is so-called background pollution, such as smoke produced by wildfires in California driven eastward, and huge volumes of exhaust produced by cars and trucks passing through the city, said Steve Keene, president of the Greater Houston Partnership, which represents area companies. Quote, "Unfortunately, EPA's proposed discretionary rule tightening the PM2.5 standards would hold regulated industry wholly responsible for lowering emissions," he said in an email. Continuing the quote, "Until policy changes can be made to address these outlying external factors and to consider localized impacts, the EPA should maintain the existing fine particulate matter standards," end quote. The EPA projects that by 2032, all but 31 counties in the United States will be in compliance with the new standard as the agency moves ahead on tougher regulations on car and truck pollution, along with coal plants. But those standards, once finalized, are expected to be litigated by industry groups and Republican attorneys general, and with the current makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court, It's unclear whether they will allow the Biden administration the deference they might have granted past administrations in setting environmental standards. Students create junior board for food bank. Group aims to raise awareness in community. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Through a commitment to their community, 10 students at Trinity School in Midland created a junior board for the West Texas Food Bank. The group's goal is to advocate, fundraise, and raise awareness for the West Texas Food Bank. Events such as the upcoming Valentine's Day dance for Permian Basin High School students allow the junior board to explore new ways for young Midland-Odessa folks to impact their community, all while maintaining the food bank's mission. Caitlin Boyd, designated junior board party planner and vice president of executive review, and Ezekiel Bahomo, junior board vice president, spoke to the Reporter Telegram about the new project and what the group of young nonprofit entrepreneurs hope to achieve in their first year of service. Question: what separates the junior board from food bank leadership? Quote, the junior board was established as a result of the food bank's innovative and forward-thinking spirit. Although affiliated with the food bank, we are a fully self-sufficient body that runs activities and events independently without burdening the food bank. We set up our own events and are planning to host some corporate events for our sponsors later on, Bahomo said. Question: why was a junior board needed? Quote, it's important to the food bank because it is an extra outlet for communication with the community from a different demographic, the younger generation, Boyd explained. It's also essential to the food bank and community because teenagers are directly involved in serving their community. Usually people think that they need to be adults or much older in order to make meaningful impacts on their environment. The West Texas Junior Board shows that you can be a positive influence within the community, even just as a high schooler. We aim to inspire other teenagers to work toward aiding their community and working with impactful community organizations, Bahomo added. Question: how can other students join the board? Quote, next year, we plan on opening up the application process to other high schools in the Permian Basin, including but not exclusive to Midland High and Midland Legacy High Schools. Once the application is submitted, there is an interview process that will be conducted by the current members and a few representatives from the food bank, Boyd stated. Question: why is this something you wanted to be a part of? Quote, having lived in Midland for almost 11 years, I have a strong affinity for the city and region, and there is nothing more I would love to do than serve and aid the environment that has shaped me and helped me grow into who I am today. It is incredible working with the food bank because they genuinely make such a significant impact in West Texas by distributing food to thousands of people over 19 different counties and working toward their goal of creating a West Texas without hunger, Bahomo admitted. The February 10th Valentine's Day dance will feature a DJ, photo booth, food from MD's Pizza and HEB, and over $1,000 in raffle prizes. Tickets can be purchased by visiting the group's Instagram page at WTX Food Bank JR Board. All proceeds go to the food bank. USPS considers upgrades to Midland facility. Community input sought during February 22nd public meeting. The story was written by B.K. Richter. The United States Postal Service will be conducting an evaluation of current operations and potential future uses of its Midland Processing and Distribution Center facility in Midland. According to a recent press release, the evaluation of operations is part of a $40 billion investment strategy to upgrade and improve the postal processing, transportation, and delivery networks within the region. The plan for the upgrades is a 10-year initiative called the Delivering for America Plan, or DFA Plan. The DFA Plan will include improvements that are said to enhance the level of service provided to the public, as well as create innovation and offer a large array of postal products and services. Quote, improvements to postal operations will enhance the level of service provided to the public, drive innovation, and enable a broader array of postal products and services, enhance organizational competitiveness, improve efficiency and lower the cost to operate, and provide better workplaces and careers for Postal Service employees, the USPS press release stated. While the review of the Midland facility may improve customer service and present savings in cost from an operations aspect, business mail entry, post office, station, and branch retail services are not expected to change. Additionally, delivery services will be unaffected throughout the review process. Quote, the evaluation is a first step in the Postal Service review and investment process in this facility and will not result in this facility's closure or career employee layoffs, USPS wrote in its press release announcing the review of the Midland facility. Initial results of the facility review support not only keeping the Midland facility open, but also modernizing the facility as a local processing center. The regional facility will also offer expanded and streamlined package processing capabilities within the local market. Another part of the DFA plan highlights transferring some mail processing operations to the Amarillo P&DC. According to the USPS, this location change would mean a significant percentage of mail collected locally would travel across a wider USPS transportation and processing network more efficiently. Quote, mail and packages destined for outside the local area may receive better service and be more cost-effectively distributed by aggregating it with mail and packages from other areas going to the same places that will likewise utilize the wider postal network and be transported significant distances from where the mail originated, USPS stated. A public meeting is slated for Thursday, February 22nd at 3 p.m. at the MLK Jr. Community Center Auditorium, located at 2300 Butternut Lane. During the meeting, USPS will share the initial results of the study and allow members of the community to provide oral feedback and perspectives on the initial findings of the mail processing facility review. A summary of the mail processing facility review will be posted on about.usps.com at least 1 week before the public input meeting. Members of the local community may submit written comments at surveymonkey.com/r/MPFR-MidlandTX until March 8th. The public's input will be considered before a final decision is implemented. Cupid calling. From couples sword fighting to crappy messages to your ex, here's how to spend Valentine's Day. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Looking for something to do this Valentine's Day besides dinner? How about the days leading up? There are plenty of events and restaurants throughout the Tall City offering a multitude of ideas for partners, friends, and family. From markets and block parties to fancy dinners and sweet treat specials, there's something available for all Midlanders to do to celebrate the 2024 season of love. For the girls, there's a wide list of Galentine's celebrations, while the animal shelters have a new stinky solutions up their sleeves for all of the exes. Here's a list of Valentine's Day options in Midland, Odessa for community members of all ages. Saturday, February 10th. Galentine's Pottery Night. Gather for a night of cocktails and clay work with your besties. All supplies are provided. Tickets cost $75 at LeslieClayStudio.com, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., 4610 North Garfield Street. Galentine's Self-Care Pop-Up and Market. Get your lashes done, brows waxed, a facial, enjoy shopping, hanging with the girls, and some delicious snacks and drinks, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., 4803 Plaza Boulevard, Suite 804. Sweetheart Sword Fighting. 2-hour class where couples learn the basics of medieval longsword combat and choreograph their own romantic duel to the death or a kiss. Admission $50 per couple. Arrive early for registration, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., 704 West Scarborough Drive. Valentine Card Workshop. For kids 12 and under, join Danny G. from KISS FM 103.3 for card-making workshop. All supplies provided. Noon to 2 p.m., 4101 East 42nd Street. Valentine Dance. The West Texas Food Bank Junior Board is hosting a Valentine's Dance and raffle for high school students in the Permian Basin. Tickets can be purchased by visiting the group's Instagram page at WTX Food Bank JR Board, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., 2514 Arena Trail. Valentine Making Workshop. All ages are welcome to this free event using collages, stamping techniques, and printmaking at the Ellen Noel Art Museum in Odessa at 4909 East University Boulevard from 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Sunday, February 11th. Be Mine Valentine Market. Over 40 vendors, food trucks, and live music will be on site. Every hour, a giveaway happens and free mimosas available while supplies last. 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., 104 South Terrell Street. Tuesday, February 13th. Heart Wreath Painting. Head over to Curbside Bistro in Odessa for an evening of painting along with award-winning burgers, loaded fries, and more. Tickets cost $25. Go to facebook.com/curbsidebistro2014. 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., 3816 Andrews Highway. New You Med Spa. Snacks, drinks, door prizes, and giveaways happening at this Valentine's party. There will also be one-day-only specials on services, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., 3407 Caldera Boulevard. Wednesday, February 14th, Anti-Valentine's Paint and Trash Social. Hang out and create with fellow Anti-Valentine's fans in the safe place that is the Desert Hippie and Company, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., 2101 West Wadley Avenue, Suite 42. Cake Decorating. Join the Golden Whisk at Hoop and Barrel for a couple's cake decorating class featuring two cakes and all supplies for $120. 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., 3211 West Wadley Avenue, Suite 21. Movie moment. Enjoy a screening of The Princess Bride at the Museum of the Southwest Planetarium. Chocolate-covered strawberries, snacks, cider, and champagne available beforehand. Admission $15 per non-member couple. 6:30 p.m., 1705 West Missouri Avenue. Singles Mixer. Enjoy games, laughter, and a chance at romance this year at a singles-only event packed with snacks and sips to make the introductions easier. Tickets are $35 at www.dine-n-design.com. 7 p.m., John Ben Shepherd Parkway Boulevard. Sip House. Themed drinks and Love is in the Air decor will be on display. Speed dating will happen February 22nd, and Sip and Paint finishes out the month of love on February 29th. 303 West Wall Street. Skate Date. CM Rink and Roll offers activities for the whole family and will have free bumper car rides with admission. 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., 4101 East 42nd Street. Valentine's Day Bingo. Head over to Soul City Brewing Company for a 21 and up evening of prizes and good West Texas craft beer. 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., 3303 West Golf Course Road. Valentine's in Valentine, Texas. Every year, the city of Valentine hosts a bog love-themed party at the old Mercantile, featuring tons of West Texas talent, good vibes, and delicious food and drinks from local vendors. Headlining this year's celebration is Jimmy Vaughn, an American blues rock guitarist and singer, four-time Grammy winner, and the brother of the late Texas blues guitarist Stevie Ray Vaughan. Jimmy most recently toured with Eric Clapton and was also the guitarist from the famous American blues band The Fabulous Thunderbirds. Additional acts include The Pulpit Ramblers, The Pecos River Band, Primo E. Bibi, and a special appearance by SheVerb. The event happens rain or shine, snow or swelter. Tickets and more info can be found at valentineinvalentinetx.com. And for the exes, just $5 can bring awareness to your crappy ex, best friend who wronged you, or even that in-law you can't stand. Let the Midland Animal Shelter Adoptables know their name, and it will place a name tag next to a large pile of him. All money goes toward shelter residents needing veterinary care.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.